The recording which you are about to hear is a movie review by four friends. In particular, Colin, Travis, Holly, and Sean. It is all the more entertaining in that they were inebriated. But had they lived very, very sober lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to see as much of the mad and macabre as they were to see those nights. For them, an idyllic Saturday night movie became a podcast. The events of those nights were to lead to the creation of one of the most bizarre podcasts in the annals of American history, the Saturday Night Freak Show.
Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey there, and thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast.
Hi.
Movie fiends. Every Saturday night, a bunch of us get together, watch a movie chosen round robin by one of the amazing internet superstars of the Saturday Night Freak Show. Then we gather around the bar and talk about it for your listening pleasure and enjoyment. Hey, but hey, we're running a special promotion for this month only. That's not entirely true. But hey, what we want you to do, because a lot of you have asked, how do you pick your movies? Well, we want to watch the movies that you pick for us. So we're having a listener's choice.
Once.
We're going to do four of them.
Oh, okay.
For 1 month.
Four movies for 1 month.
1 month. Wait, this next month?
In January. We're going to
do it. Okay, in January.
Good Sean's idea. Been gone.
When nothing... Yeah, I... hello, folks. I'm a little out of the loop. All right, in January. Good, where nothing's happening.
Right.
There's no special holidays to celebrate or pick
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So we figure that what we'll do is through the month of November, we'll take requests. If there are more than four, we'll vote on those through December. If not, we'll just let it run through December. And then in January, we're going to watch four... movies that you, listeners,
you
tell us that we should yes. watch. The only caveat is we're not going to do something that we've already seen. So you have to go back through our catalog, make sure we haven't already watched
yes.
that movie. So.
We will right. not watch Mean Guns again. Sorry, not happening.
Exactly. So these are the internet radio superstars.
Holly.
Sean.
Travis.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by...
Sean.
Yeah, why does he me. Pick movies? He's only here when he picks movies. Isn't that weird?
It is kind of funny how that works.
There's special events going on and are there? Whatnot. We are all there? Have
So you're
things.
Saying you're back now.
Oh, I'm back. I'm yeah. back.
Cubs have won the World Series.
They've won, and so I don't need to be away anymore.
There you go. So what did we watch tonight, Sean?
We watched 1994/7's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation.
All right, so
glad you're back.
And you can expect more treats like this movie in the coming months.
Oh, awesome. Well, we need to get back on our schlock kick, and this
yes,
definitely suits
this
the bill.
Fits the bill.
All right, so I feel personally responsible for this. Well, no.
In it some is ways, your fault.
Yeah, because this was all triggered by the fact that Renee Zellweger, who has who's in the movie.
Yes. There are two Oscar winners in this movie.
Was this her first movie?
Yeah, I want to say so. There's no introducing whoever Renee Zellweger at the beginning.
Was it Empire Record? I don't know.
That's what I was going to look up. That's what I was going to look up. Empire Records for
Empire,
me.
I thought Empire Please. Records was.
All right. Well, first of all, I guess let's pin down when was this actually made?
This movie was made in 1994.
Okay. It was released in 96.
Released in 97. 97. Barely. Barely released in 97. Yeah. When it was first written and first made, it was called The Return of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Written and directed by Kim Henkel, who co-wrote the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, decided he wanted to make another one. And so in 1993, they sought funding to make this gem of a movie right here in front of us.
Because I think there's always been some type of rights issue with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, the original movie was funded by the mob. Right through a front company
well,
called
no, that
Bryanston.
Was just the distributions.
Oh, sorry, yeah. That the guys just, who bought yeah. it, Bryanston was the New York mob. I think they also put out The Devil's Reign. I'm not sure if they like did anything else, to be honest with you. Some point, the rights went to New Line Cinema for the distribution, but somehow Canon Films end up making Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 in 1986. And the New Line Cinema made Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or sorry, Leatherface. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
There we
go. In like 1990, 91. No, it was 89? Could have been 89. Then
it felt like 89 or 88.
So here we are. So this has got to be some, you know, it's Kim Henkel trying to reclaim
the rights. What, he wants a bologna sandwich? He wants
to do the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, and I'm going to read you the back of this because I think it'll kind of answer, or at least according to what whoever made this DVD thought of this movie.
Who made it?
Well, I was supposed to say, I don't know, because it's been released. I mean, there's a few different ones. I mean, this, what we're looking at right now, that's got Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey on the cover of this is not the original cover.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this was made to kind of cash in
on the DVD covers.
Basically,
how they always change the fucking DVD covers.
Right, because what does everybody remember?
It's a woman. Leatherface.
Leatherface is a woman hiding in the corner of the thing. The tagline is, if looks could kill, she wouldn't need a chainsaw.
Mm.
There's also the other cover, which is the lipstick that's got the chainsaw blade going up to the
I remember that one.
Those are the two I remember seeing in the video store. But this one's a little bit different. It's also a different cut of the movie, but we'll get into that.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's all sorts of stuff.
Wow. It's complicated and it's a little interesting. But the back says, when a helpful family invites two lost couples in for a good old down-home massacre, the prom night teens find themselves all dressed up with nowhere to escape. Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey star in this hilarious, bone-chilling remake of the horror classic.
Wow.
Now, that's how this is labeled, according to this
They're
TV.
Liars.
Hilarious, bone-chilling remake.
Well, yeah.
They're
remarketing
the film, rebranding the film.
Yeah,
they're trying to rebrand it. That, like, of course we knew.
Right.
That's what they're going to say about all these Star Wars movies now. They're going to be like, of course we are making homage. I mean, hello.
Why would we take all this money and just
remake
keep doing the same
it?
Thing?
I mean, we don't think our fans are stupid.
Well, this is definitely like, okay, so this is my first time watching this. I'm a big fan of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
But
Colin happened to mention offhandedly, and I think he's mentioned it before, but recently he said, you know, I've never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre before.
It was because Renee Zellweger said, like, publicly acknowledged the movie, I think, for the first time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, ever, maybe in a public interview.
I think
just because Michael Bay made two of them. I want you to remember that. Just because. I don't know. She only felt comfortable saying it because it's like,
right. Oh, it's gone a little more mainstream. I can mention it now.
Yeah. Now I can, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm far enough removed from it or whatever. So Sean's like, what, you haven't seen this one? Because, yes, I've seen all the other ones. But this one, I remember when it came out, was like, it just... All the impression of it was like, this is a really cheap ass remake version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Uh-huh. And it's like, who needs to see this? But
and so you, of all people, like, skipped this movie?
You're like, we gotta watch it.
How is that possible?
I know, yeah. I went from 3 and then took, like, what, a 20-year hiatus until the Michael Bay movie came around.
Yeah.
Because, I even, when it first came out in video. Well, it only came out on video, right? I mean,
again, in 97, it was released in like 5 places for its theatrical.
Yeah, one of them was Hollywood Video. That's where I rented it.
I think it was Bunger Video in Rochelle. That's where I saw this on the video
Bunger
shelves.
Video.
Bunger Video.
Sounds almost
after this was after they closed down the miniature golf on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And after seeing this, I knew, I'm like, this is
it's
franchise
over.
Is dead.
It's done.
It's the one that killed it.
Yeah.
Because franchises died in the 90s.
Yeah, either they went to space, hell, or just
or
fucking...
Space, hell, or direct-to-video. That's a great name for a book.
Yeah.
Space, hell, or direct-to-video.
Copyright 2016.
Copyright 2016, Saturday Night Freak Show.
Okay, so there's, I think, 7 movies in this series, and an 8th one filmed and waiting for release.
Waiting
that would
for
be
release,
Leatherface itself.
Yes.
And the last one... Texas Chainsaw 3D, if I remember correctly, was also like somehow Kim Henkel was back at it again. Like he had some kind of creative.
He always gets credit for characters created, and I'm pretty sure he has some hand in producing all of them that come through.
I don't think it was all of them. Like I don't think they really had a whole lot to do. I mean, aside from cashing checks
on
the two Michael Bay, the Platinum Dunes remakes.
But the Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, did it
but
go
Texas
back to
Texas Chainsaw 3D? Is I think it's his because it gets back Gunnar Hansen, it gets back Marilyn Burns. You know, it is a direct sequel. It's ignoring everything else. It's a sequel to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes,
but all of these movies. I guess this is the thing. Like now, having seen this, and I've completed the entire series.
I'm glad I could do this for you, Colin.
Thank you very much, Sean. I mean, my life is now complete.
So did Toby Hooper sell it off to like just everybody?
I don't think he ever had it. I think that was the issue. I think somehow it got locked up in like so it was never his property. I think. And so I think this might be Kim Henkel's attempt at like getting his name back in creatively with associated with the franchise. Hmm. Well, what would to become a, you know, weird right. franchise.
Way later on.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no. I was going to say that basically, to me, all right, you guys got to correct me if I'm wrong. There's seven movies released. Six of those are all the pretty much the exact same movie. They're all remakes of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, with Texas Chainsaw 2 being the only one that actually does feel like a potential continuation of
yeah,
the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you usually have, I mean, to make a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, you have a group of people that start somewhere, run into strange weirdos somewhere in the backwoods of Texas, end up at a big farmhouse. That's really all you need, big farmhouse, where Leatherface and his crazy family hang out. Yep. And then they become captive. You have to have the scene at the dinner table. I think all of them have that. No, the remakes don't.
Do they not?
The remake doesn't have a dinner table scene. I can't remember.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure nobody gets together because that's Arlie Ermey was in the remake, and I'm pretty sure I don't remember anybody ever sitting at the table,
right,
hanging out.
See, that's the problem. It's like after fucking Texas Chainsaw 2, they just start bringing in family members. Every movie, there's just all these extra family members. It's like, who the fuck are these people?
They I know are they're rednecks. Supposed to. They, yeah. they have just family all over the place, loosely related, we'll call them.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. It's just like
the movies.
When you're so used to, in 1 and 2, you're used to Bubba or fucking, or Junior, right? Bubba, whatever, Leatherface.
Yeah.
The brother or Chop Top. Or
there's the dead hitchhiker, or the hitchhiker from the first one, who they carry around in the second one, even though he's dead. They stuff him or whatever, right?
Is that supposed to be the hitchhiker?
Yeah. they're family, dude.
I always thought they retconned hitchhiker into Chop Top.
No, but Chop Top is a new guy. He missed the first movie because Chop Top was in Vietnam. He was in the military.
But that's what I'm saying. I always thought they always refer to that dead thing as his butt. I always thought that was his army buddy. They always say it's his buddy. They never refer to it as like.
Well, I can't remember the movie, but I remember like the Fangoria articles at the time. So that's where weird. I'm getting this from. I'd have to go back and watch.
Yeah,
the movie,
you have to check it out because I've always thought that was Chop Top's army buddy. He brought back with him, you know, because people bring back ear, you know, that
yeah.
type he just of brought back him.
He brought back his friend, his army
well,
buddy.
Well, like in a duffel bag?
Right.
You're not supposed to think about Texas Chainsaw. You're supposed to experience Texas Chainsaw. But I think the problem they've always run into in remaking Texas Chainsaw is they get it wrong every time. The first two movies are the only true Texas Chainsaw stories to me personally because they're not about crazy hillbillies going to kill kids. They're basically about people wandering into their place and them freaking out and being like, well, now we have to fucking kill them. It's not that they're not cannibals. It's not that they're not. You know, and in part two, they kill the kids that are talking on the phone, so they know, well, fuck, this lady's got, you know, they're always covering up their crime, usually. And
yeah, they're not just out prowling around looking for people to murder.
They're living their life, and then they just get these people to come in. Yeah.
And then at the beginning of this movie, it's like, August 18th, 1973. Shit happens like it always does. Yeah. But this narrator.
It's the most. And that's all they can say. Like, every few years, shit happens. Here's another one.
The drunk narrator. Like, usually those narrators are like, August 18th, 1973. This guy's like, August 18th, 1973. Three guys, they went to this place. But then it's like, then it happened two other times.
And then after that, silent, once every other even year.
Like 5 years and then, later.
5 years.
But then as soon as you get in this movie, they just start freaking out. It's like, how are they quiet for 5 years? They can't even have a fucking a tow truck like business without just killing people. It's like, how is this silent at all?
Right. And what ends up being not so far from a high school, apparently.
Yeah.
It's really quiet out there.
Because I think that's why the first one works, is that idea of isolation. Like, these kids are wandering off into the middle of nowhere. And in this one,
you get the idea that, like, Franklin and his sister are from Texas originally, but do we even know if they're, I mean, they must be going to college somewhere else, and those are their college buddies just going back there?
They're going back for, like, a weekend. Well, they're coming from, like, a city, like Austin or something, and going out to find, like, their parents. Well, they're lured out there in the first one because they get reports of the graveyard being dug up.
Right. And they want to save their grandpa. Yeah, or their,
since like, they're out there, they're like, let's go visit the old place. And then it turns out that the Sawyers, right?
Well, that's a part two. They call them the Sawyers.
The Hewitts and
the Sawyers. Because the Saws family.
Yeah. Oh. Sawyers. Yeah, see what they did
so,
there.
Yeah,
it's always been a humorous series, right?
Yeah.
Even the first one. Like, I remember Toby Hooper saying, you know, it was supposed to be a lot more funny than it was. He thought it was funny. He thought that movie was going to get a PG rating. Like, somehow, right? 1974.
Bones are funny.
It was terrifying. Yeah, the chicken bone.
See,
I always thought he was joking. I've never took Toby Hooper seriously when he's like, we'll call it head cheese. Like, I always thought he was joking at the fact that he made this like grueling, terrifying thing. He doesn't want people to think he's a psycho. So he like when he talks about it, he's always like, ah, it's funny. Come on. You know, come on. Yeah. I mean, it is funny. I mean, the whole like,
look what your brother did to the door.
But that's almost like the only fun. I mean, really, there's not a lot of real funny shit to it.
It's not a
ha-ha
funny kind of movie.
I mean, the grandpa, like, barely holding the hammer, trying to hit someone over the head. It's like, that's kind of funny.
It's a black comedy?
Yeah, it's a black,
well, this is pretty dark if it's funny at all. And it's actually coming across as, like, horrifying, you know? The guy making fun of her while she's screaming, you know, at the table. And,
so, like, my first question in this movie is...
First of many.
Why? Oh, yeah, dude. Like, if you're like, it takes place at a prom. Oh, we can't afford prom decorations. Okay.
Do we have
lights? We'll just have lights outside of a door and someone comes out of a prom.
Yeah.
And all right, cool. A big sign that says prom night just so they get the idea.
Yeah. It's like, why haven't had a fucking prom at that point? It's like, you could just be like, why can't they just be driving on their way to meet people? It's like, this movie
you can almost start
anyway.
Right there,
Like, we don't even need this, like,
but then you miss
the
out
ditzy
on
girlfriend.
The most-
The girl
the greatest
that
characters.
The lady that I think slept with Kim Hinkle to act in this movie. That chick
hot,
that's like
the hot one?
You're kissing this girl. It's just like this
lady. It's my fault. I don't have sex with them.
It's the worst.
Before that girl shows up, the worst actress in this movie, I think, is that girl who comes out
She's like staggering out of the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's like I don't know what she's doing.
She was the hitchhiker.
Was she a schizophrenic? Like,
she was the hitchhiker, right?
I don't know.
What
hitchhiker?
She was this version of this movie's version of the hitchhiker.
But she wasn't related to the family.
Or either that or she's no. I'm sorry. No, I'm going to go back on what I said. No, she's this movie's version of a... Remember how in the first movie, when they first get to the graveyard, there's that guy be like, they say, they come out, that's that, right? It's just this weird person saying weird things that you're supposed to be like,
with
ugh.
Weird body, like, she didn't say weird things, just the movement.
I was kind of hoping she would have been one of the family.
Yeah, but this is where they...
that would have made more sense.
It would have made a lot of sense.
But this is where it doesn't make sense, is because these scenes at the beginning of the movie, at the prom, is supposed to establish, like, society, or like, right, this is the safety of civilization.
Yeah,
and we're going to take these people and move them into the wild, and that's where the crazy cannibals are.
I guess so.
Right?
I just figured it's a horror movie, like prom night.
Well, that's where you got to establish the safe base, and then leaving safe base to go off into the unknown, and that's where they meet up
high
with these
school,
people.
Normal life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just throw characters into the meat grinder that we haven't even had a chance to meet. There's a car accident where there's a guy who like stumbles out badly.
I think their cousin
falls down and
had access to a school, and they're like, we need to start this movie somehow. What do we do in the school? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Well, could it be nighttime? What would they do in a school at nighttime?
Dance. Well, this is a missed opportunity, I think, or maybe as we explore this movie, we'll find out that there's something there. But like the idea, if you start a movie with like prom, is something about prom dates, and eventually you got Leatherface, and he's going to be her prom date or something by the end of the movie, or Leatherface is in love or whatever. But they've done that already in the second one. Right.
Yeah, they did it in the second one. Leatherface of Love
came of age, basically. So, like, there's nothing to be gained from this movie by having the main characters be leaving a prom, other than just
their dress.
And you have them in tuxedos.
They're dressed nice. Now their dress got ruined.
It establishes, if nothing else, age that they are young.
Oh yeah, because everybody's 40 in this movie. Right. The whole high school is just like.
Yeah. Well,
the only thing that lasts the whole movie is she's always wearing the corsage.
Right.
Till the very end. That's my only theory. They wanted that corsage in the whole movie.
Something, right? So just like it visually. Means something. Yeah.
We need her to wear a flower the whole fucking time. Yeah.
This
that's
movie
it.
Means nothing.
Prom. Done. Yeah.
So they run into a tow
truck.
You
know, I just thought would be cool.
If we got
if
murdered,
we
right?
died and like
they made a song about us.
Where? It's like, what the fuck?
Who is she? It's
who's Kim Hinkle? That's what I want to know. Who the fuck does he think people talk like this? That's what I say. He didn't write Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He's a lot. He sat next to Toby Hooper. As Toby Hooper's like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of ad libbing on that set. And Kim Hinkle is
or
not
just shows
directed.
His contempt for young people at that point.
Yeah,
he had been like 50 by the time
this was. It was what's 20 years after the first one. He was probably in his 20s or 30s on the first one.
Right.
I assume,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah, he just doesn't like young people. So he's like, let's make them idiots.
Or just
kill them.
Understand them. Yeah. Or whatever. I guess it's black comedy, so this is like the Beavis and Butthead generation, I suppose.
But they run
the boyfriend
into
boyfriend kind of definitely was.
Yeah, right.
He kind of had that like kind of airy voice, or he's like, "Come on, guys."
Yeah. Like,
is that Sean? The Sean character?
Yes.
Was he the guy in the tuxedo?
Yeah,
the
dickhead.
Yeah.
There's the dickhead and the cuck who's just like, do what the girls say. I once saw him trying to have sex with girls. It's like, who the fuck is this pussy? Like, that guy pissed me off. And he is. He's not dating Renee Zellweger.
That's what I thought they were.
He's a pothead.
And they're just getting high, yeah.
He's her date for prom. But
they're just a pothead and a nerd.
Yeah.
How's she a nerd? Glasses, hair hangs in her face.
I like nerdy Renee Zellweger. This is the most attractive I've ever found her.
No way, dude. Empire Records,
too, yeah.
That's the only movie she's skinny in. I'm sorry.
And she's got, like, the ponytail or something. Does it? Yeah.
I don't know. Texas Chainsaw Diary.
But they run into, after this car accident, they go search for help and end up at this movie's version of the cook, right?
Yes.
From the original Leatherface,
or
Texas Chainsaw. But we're not aware of this yet.
Well,
it's a real estate agent or something, this female.
Yeah.
Because, did we talk about they got into a car accident? Like, she says we get into a car accident and then get into a car accident.
Yeah.
It's
one
of those weird, like, writing things.
I think he's dead. Is he dead? I think he's dead.
And we got to bring help.
What do I do? This is hilarious.
Yeah. But this is this is the thing, like, you know, and having watched these movies, ultimately, you know, that's what's tipping the hand that I'm like, this woman's acting really weird. She's flashing her boobs at like people who throw rocks through her window, and she reacts like not at all. Like, oh, that's just the kids, you know, trying to get my attention. Like they just threw a brick through your window and shattered the glass. It was the most like lackadaisical, kind of like nonchalant. Like, oh, that's just them out there. Like, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
all
then
you
she
knew.
Goes and flashes her boobs at him. I'm like, okay,
those were
so
not
she's
hers.
Off her rocker.
Yeah, she's in the family.
And so we know, that she's in the family.
We know she's
and
so we're a little
family.
Tense. We're
but
like,
here's the thing.
That's
about
what I'm saying. How
movies.
Do they keep this calm for 5 years?
Right. Because as this gets on, you know, as this series keeps going on, eventually, by the time you get to the remake, well, hell, in this one too, like every single person that you come in contact with within 10 fucking miles of base camp, the Texas Chainsaw House, every single fucking person that you're going to run into is crazy.
They're a nutball.
They're related to the family.
And they can't help
it.
They're just all like, woo-wee, look at this. It's like, what the fuck? Like, how did these people pretend to be normal at all?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, how does she sell houses?
With her boobs, I guess.
That's what she said, with her boobs. She got, like, she paid for a boob job.
That's very true.
That's true.
Something. It makes no goddamn sense at all.
It was just like, it's just like, ooh, chaotic. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, your idea is that these characters are they have no boundaries, no morals.
None of the townsfolk question that if their high school sons are vandalizing property and this woman's flashing them, like that never crossed their mind.
Well, she never reports it. Sorry.
Never reports it, and they're not going to say anything. So it's just a little.
They don't
secret
see the woman
them.
In the window flashing her.
She's in the middle of almost nowhere.
But she's been flirting with everybody. Apparently, she's been flirting with the cop.
The cops,
there's the one good scene in this movie.
Remember,
I'll give it that it was a decent scene where this woman has a victim in the trunk of her car, and she's pulled through a drive-thru and is getting some food, has the trunk open, and the cops pull up behind her, and we're like, you know, this is the moment where, like, something's going to happen. The cop gets out of his car and walks up, and she's like, okay, now you be quiet now, and closes the lid, and the cop doesn't see what's in it. I was like, that was decent, right? I mean, like, as horror movies go.
Decent, right. given Renee Zellweger is just talking normal.
Or drive-through.
In parts where she should be hysterical. She's like, I can't breathe back here. Can you poke a hole in the bag?
Yeah.
Like, she's just kind of level.
Was that supposed to be funny?
I mean...
That's unintentionally funny, but was it intended that way? I don't know. I think
it has to be.
I feel like that part was intentionally funny.
I feel it has to be. Because there's no way you tell your actress to be like, just deliver it even. You're not hysterical.
Once again, how are you silent for 5 or 20 years if you're at a drive-thru and you're like, you want to see the body in the trunk? It's like, what the fucking shit? It makes no sense.
Yeah. She's crazy.
She cray.
But she's not even the one that gets all of these kids together. She calls a tow truck run by
Vilmer.
Oh my god.
Matthew McConaughey. Whose birthday is today, the day that we're recording this?
Happy birthday, Matthew McConaughey. I just knew.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't care.
He's a really big fan.
Apparently so.
Right here.
This is years before the McConaissance.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The McConaissance.
So, do we figure out, like, Dazed and Confused was prior to this, right?
Yes.
In his career? That was, like, 92 or something like that? 93.
Okay. And they shot this.
So, this is another, he's a genuine Texan, right?
Yeah, you're going to
make a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You cast an actual dude.
He's like, I could be in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He ends up being a crazy, crazy, I mean, like.
He's dedicated.
His performance is unhinged.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just,
it makes an impression. He is trying to out-act by sheer volume alone.
Yes.
Because there'd be nothing else in this movie.
By sheer force and movement, he's doing it.
The way that, like, I think in the original movie, how hectic it is from the actress. What's her name?
Marilyn Burns.
Burns, yeah.
You know? So he's like, well, we're not going to have that. The dude will do that. So he's just...
Well, he's kind of
that's a direct quote, by the way.
Ladies. Oh, no, no. That's a quote.
When he jumps off the roof.
Well, you have to say that Matthew McConaughey looks like he's having a lot of fun in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Nothing else.
Trying to maybe just amuse himself.
Just insane.
I don't know. Yeah.
And he's got nothing to say, so and it's just like, oh, you know, not to bury the lead, but the fucking, two fingers, the bowl. Like, but his fucking tow truck says Illuminati towing.
I missed that one. Oh. Does it say Illuminati towing? Oh. Yeah, put that nail right there in the head. Just hammer it in.
Just right there. And then, like, all he talks about is, like, you don't even know, man. I mean, you got questions, but you don't, you know, it's just like, what the fucking bullshit?
Yeah.
And
this movie takes a very strange turn toward the end of it. Should we talk about that now or wait until the
I don't know what else we're going to talk about.
Let's get there.
Because what? There's fog in this movie. There's woods
lots
in this
of fog,
movie.
There's people.
You
I
run
mean,
from trucks.
There's a lot of familiar beats in this movie. Can we say that?
Yes.
Like almost
nothing
painfully
else to do.
Familiar.
Yeah, directly lifted from the original movie.
Except for like the shock. Because there was kind of a shock when... You found out the barbecue gas station guy was the leader of these crazy dudes, right?
Right. Shock is gone in that matter because we're four movies in. Because
like I said,
shock you can't get.
Yeah.
Like how do you even know?
So again, like Matthew McConaughey, sheer volume is how you're going. Yeah. Sheer volume and craziness and loudness.
Well, he's like the Chop Top of this movie, right? It's
kind
like we didn't have Chop Top in
he's
the first
a mixture
one,
of the
so
dad
we bring
and
Chop
Top
in for this remake, right? Because War. The third one had the Viggo Mortensen character, which it was a lot less
grandiose, boisterous.
Grandiose, I suppose. Yeah. And this character,
they keep on trying to get rid of the dad character. They keep on trying to mix the dad and Chop Top to just be some like guy. That's kind of crazy.
But there's another character in the family too, a guy who I don't know what.
He does.
I think his name is W.E.
Yes, it's W.E.
And all he does is quote famous literature and then immediately tell you where he got the quote from. And that becomes his entire character.
That's Billy Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Because there's something going on here, man, that you don't understand, man. It's been going on for a long time.
You got to say it in the form of a quote.
No, but I'm just saying that's why, because he's the other side of that where he, you know, there's something bigger going on. He's smarter than all you people. This is why you're the victims, right? Like we're the killers, and you're the victims because we've intellectually like backed up our arguments.
Well, that makes me think of, you know, when you were talking before, the idea that like, you know, as these movies get going, that everyone is in on it, and how the hell do they keep this quiet and all that, you know, because like the whole family is spread all over the county. Mm. I think it's supposed to, you know, like a grim fairy tale or something. It's supposed to be saying like, hey, you city kids, because that's who they're aiming these yeah. movies at. Yeah. Don't leave the safety of the civilization, because out in the woods, this is a cautionary tale, right? The things that will eat you are lurking out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, so everyone basically then that they would encounter is a demented hillbilly. They're not educated. They can't, you know, they hunt their own meat and apparently mm-hmm. eat their own. I couldn't figure out in this movie, like, what their purpose was yeah. other than to just murder anyone well, who came by.
That's the surprise ending once we get to it. The surprise ending. What a shock.
So surprising. It was almost stamped on the side of the car.
It was stamped on the side of the car, which that's, I couldn't believe it. I was that's just how like, holy subtle. Shit.
That's how it's subtle. It's not this even movie
like,
is.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Kim Henkel was thinking when he got to, like, because, I mean, what else are we going to talk? Are we going to, like.
Well, we haven't talked about the one character that, like, this entire franchise revolves around.
Leatherface.
And that's Leatherface, yeah. who's kind of relegated well, right. here to like he was a in bit this. Part in his own movie.
A bit screaming yeah, part,
he
yes.
He wasn't really
all he did this. Was scream his head off, once again, to make up for the fact that the woman's not screaming.
In this movie, Leatherface, he's gone full retard, right? I mean, like... In
which
the,
he was, to be he was fair.
Always, he was always retarded, but in he the was, first one, he was like a mongoloid. He was scary because...
He was freaking out because yeah. people were encroaching on their territory. Like, oh my God, they're going to find out. We're going to get caught. Yeah, we're going to yeah. get caught.
I know, he had a reason. Him to, at the window, like, freak, like what? It's like, I can't, you know, his brain doesn't work enough to figure this stuff right. out. And then in the second one where he's, you know, Leatherface like a kid in love or going through puberty or
he's
something.
He's Bride of Frankenstein, yep. Bride of Leatherface.
The third one, they make him more of like the enforcer, the family's
he,
enforcer.
Yeah, he is Michael he becomes Myers, like a, Jason.
A darker, like Jason Leatherface, Voorhees. Right? Whenever the kids get loose, let loose. Let
that's
loose
when he has like long hair metal, like fucking like, ah! Yeah. like he's just... He's awesome. He's not retarded anymore. They don't call him Bubba or Junior or any of that pussy shit.
I think they still call him June.
Do they?
They don't call him Leatherface, I don't think. I think he's
Leatherface.
He's Junior or something like that.
Get that bitch, Leatherface. Yeah. Dog will hunt.
And he's dog just like, will yeah, hunt. He's just the shark, right? Mm-hmm. The chainsaw wielding multi-teeth.
Yeah, the dog is family. Yeah.
And so in this one, yeah, it's like, you know, you go into it, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, what's going to happen with Leatherface? And he's basically like this bumbling, screaming idiot who stumbles through like a lot of the scenes. He catches one of the girls, can't even seem to contain her. This is the
like,
thing.
Why wouldn't he kill her? Does.
Right. I couldn't understand the motivations for any later. Of these.
Yeah. It's one of those like, things. It's like also, he's just trying to entrap them. Not
it's weird
trying to...
because when we're introduced to him, he's just sneaking up behind the dimwit of the group and just kind of touching her. Checking her out, smelling her.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a really awkward it's scene weird. Because it was like, I heard him step up behind
yes.
me.
Yeah.
yeah. It went, yeah, but she doesn't hear it.
Which I hate that. Like, I mean, I'm jumping a little bit towards the end, but I just want to get to it quickly with because since we're talking about Leatherface, the only idea that they brought up in this movie that I'm like, well, fuck, that could have been a whole movie in itself is it's time for a new face. You know, yep. Leatherface yeah. is looking for a new face.
Yeah. Yes.
That's an awesome, like, holy fuck, you could build something on that. Why they chose not to?
They mentioned it for 2 seconds and then they're gone.
Yeah. Mentioned it for two. That's just like a creepy thing they're going to do to Renee Zellweger. It's like, oh, I want your face. I'm like, ah, fuck, that would have been a cool idea. Like, his shit's all decrepit. And once again, like, to get into the special effects, like, probably one of the worst Leatherface, like, masks
yeah.
ever.
Yeah,
just not inspired. So.
Yeah,
not no. scary. It's no. all droopy on his face.
Yeah, doesn't curly necessarily mullet look like
curly mullet, yeah. and he's got mm-hmm. a shittier mullet. Like
yeah, like yeah. a fake the head that's on longer, the longer one on the back. Yeah,
he's wearing a military jacket, which I think is kind of in reference to like Hitchhiker or Chop Top, whoever the fuck you want to.
It's got the call yellow whatever. Apron.
Like, that's my only, that's the only positive thing to me about this is it does return Leatherface to the Ed Gein things of dressing up as a woman, cross-dressing, you know? Because mm-hmm. they totally take that out of two yeah. and three.
Yeah,
it's not in two three. Either.
Yeah,
where mm-hmm. that's one of those things when the first time, because I mean, you know, if you're, I was, you know, born in the 80s, so I worked backwards on Texas Chainsaw. I remember the first time yeah. I saw the original, it shocked me at the dinner scene. I'm like, why is he dressed like a woman? Like, I had no idea the Ed Gein reference or any of that shit. Because I was just like, okay, crazy dude dressed like a woman.
It's just like in those scenes. Because he's the mother character, because there's no feminine influence in that family, because they keep grandpa around. And so in this movie, there is like, and that was what I guess the other thing that, not that I liked it, but I was like, this is just interesting. It's fascinating because they've added a feminine dynamic to the family itself by the inclusion of the real estate agent, who's not like a matronly woman. I mean, she's, you know, in her 30s, probably, or mid-20s. So it's like, okay, so she's Matthew McConaughey's girlfriend?
Like a sadomasochist? I have a theory.
I have a theory, because at one point when the Illuminati representative shows up at the end, and
you mean the point where the movie just flies off the rails, out the window,
it's gone, like scarred nipple bellies and all out the window.
Oh, you didn't see that coming, viewer?
You
didn't?
Oh,
well,
no,
neither
you didn't.
Did we.
Nobody did.
Yeah,
I saw it.
But when he's kind of walking around the room, she looks at him and he's like, "You, don't you start. You know why I'm here." Like. There's a reason she's there for some, and I feel the Illuminati put her there to kind of handle them, and then she's been there so long, she fell in with the group and started to
She has an explosive in her head?
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that's part of it, though. Like,
but
she
that's
got
why
too
she made that reference,
group.
Like, you know why I'm here.
Right, but yeah, I think but she got too
I
close
can't
to
leave.
The group.
I've
right.
got a bomb in my head.
I've got
I think,
a bomb
but
in
I think he
end.
Convinced her of that. Like, she was normal well, at some point.
But in this movie, she does have a bomb in her head. That's I'm convinced of that. She was not lying.
The movie goes
when a guy has three cow nipples or whatever. Like, I call them udders. Those were not nipples.
Right.
He had three cow udders. With pierced, looked like some out of fucking Nightbreed, like he crawled out of Midian.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like a whole Total Recall thing, where it's just going to be like,
yeah.
I thought he was going to like make her suck his tit.
Something.
Well, it has like
there's no point to it
for a while.
No point.
For a while, the movie goes with the idea that like these people are crazy. They're like, you know, they got Illuminati trucking. He's saying that they're, you think, you know, that the house is wired for sound
video cameras.
Which I like that point, though, because he was making a true point. Like, you think they don't know? You know?
Yeah, but at the time, they're looking at it as that he's crazy. Like, these people are crazy. And you're like, okay, so they're just letting this in. But then the fucking Illuminati, like a limo pulls up.
A limo pulls up.
And an Italian, well-dressed Italian guy gets out.
Or he might have supposed to be French, because Illuminati is French.
Well, he does say, he says something in French. I thought he said something in German. So he's like, he's
reading
an Italian
newspaper.
Because it's all over the world.
Yeah,
it's all over the world, dude. It is, man.
Yeah. So it's like just this really weird, and you're like, what in the fuck is happening here? The guy comes in. Renee Zellweger's in the dinner scene, which apparently they didn't tie her down in this movie because nothing makes any sense.
No, nothing makes any sense because they want her to get away.
Because
that's what I'm saying. Leatherface isn't trying to kill her. He's just chasing her around. He's not trying to kill nobody.
But the motivation
they want them to get away.
Was saying like so the you know the
it's horror.
The Sawyer family used to be like you know
they were cannibals.
Well, they were meat packer slaughterhouse workers.
Slaughterhouse workers.
Yeah.
They shut down the
because the economy and whatever the jobs left the slaughterhouse shut down. They didn't know how to do anything else apparently, and they're crazy. And so they started killing people and making. We find out in the second movie. They're making barbecue out of people.
Fucking chili.
Yeah. So it's like,
chili
this
competitions.
All makes, it's sick.
Oh, that's just a peppercorn.
Right.
It's sick, but it makes a certain kind of sense. In this, you're like,
yeah, it's an
so
economic
their motivation
thing.
Is because the Illuminati has placed them there to
spread
abduct
fear.
People, terrorize them, and cause horror.
And let the, horror.
And then apparently let them go and take them to the hospital or the police station or whatever.
But he is disappointed with them. So somehow this is a farce of what he really wants.
It's usually
I'm like, what does he want?
It's usually a pretty tightly run ship, but not when he shows up.
That's why I don't know. It's like, is he saying that, like, that's why I'm confused. At first I was like, Is he saying that more people should be... Are they fucking up because they're not letting people go? They're too busy killing them?
I think maybe.
And not letting them be, like they're letting going them too go? Far.
They're supposed to be like terrifying them and letting them go. So people are like, don't go in there. There's crazies in the woods. But they just keep something. Killing people.
But like, I don't understand because like, okay, fans, if you know, if you heard some of our podcasts, you know, I'm a fan of Illuminati theories and conspiracies and shit like that, whatever, right? It's like, it's so easy.
Everybody just stop to pause their thing and laugh. That's what everybody just did right now.
It's not,
welcome back, listeners.
And thank you, Illuminati,
but it's
for
a very
us.
Easy yes. thing. We talked about a horror movie called The Conspiracy, where they literally just looked on YouTube for a half an hour of Illuminati shit, and they got it all down. They got at least parodies or parables of the things they needed to be like, oh shit, man, these guys are talking about Illuminati shit. And it's like, these fucking people don't know anything about, because it's just like, what? Spread horror.
It's in a pre-internet day, right? The Illuminati at this point apparently just want to undermine society by placing, I assume, in different cities, you know, these crazy
urban legends
people who...
That's what he's saying, right? Urban legend. If not, it's almost like the...
Acquiring.
Dude, it's almost like
this stuff exists, and now we're going to bring you into our fold.
It's almost like,
they were doing this, but now, like, you'll do
Halloween 6. How the doctor, how Halloween 6, you know, Michael Myers is an evil in the world until a druid group is like, fuck it, dude. We could, like, get this evil and use it for our ceremony.
Right. What are we using it for?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, on everybody's... I don't know if this was this their way of being meta without trying to be movie meta? Were they trying to... Just think of the idea of fear and horror. Like, how does Leatherface, Michael Myers, Jason, how does that fit into an urban legend type of, like, it's went on for 30 years, you know?
It feels like
for
it could
30
be.
Years.
Like, there is a meta message in there somewhere.
It's just shit. It's just shit.
But maybe not so clear.
It is pretty fucking weird.
It's
Let's
weird.
Put it that
it
way.
Is weird. Because
why
weird.
Did he even have to have carved? It's like, why are you from Midian? Like, why does the FBI guy or whatever fuck have to have
the
a carved up
the Illuminati
belly?
Guy, Travis.
He's an Illuminati guy. Illuminati. Well, but then he's an FBI. That's why it's like, I know he's an FBI and Illuminati. Hello.
He probably runs both. It's possible.
Hello.
It's possible. We don't know anything about these
they're
people.
They're here. They're there. They're everywhere.
See?
They're in all of your fucking institutions.
Yeah. So this is
but
Kim
this
Hankel,
is also what, I'm sorry.
Who must like have like you know, this is maybe a personal belief system or whatever he's trying to work
possibly.
Into the movie.
This is what Eyes Wide Shut was about, right? Eyes Wide Shut. A doctor goes to a scary fucking party, and then the doctor goes to him at the end. He's like, dude, they do that to scare people. They want you to think. They're so untouchable that, oh, they're surrounded by Satanists and by occult rituals. They want to scare you away from trying to find out anything about them.
Well, it's so you won't tattle on them. That's basically the thing in Eyes Wide Shut. And this, it's like, I mean, I suppose, because he lets her go at the end. He's like, I apologize for this, you know, what's happened.
Can I drop you at a police station or a hospital?
It should have gone better than this.
It's very odd. There's a lot of odd things in this movie. Let's, for instance, talk about a scene in which
leg.
The boyfriend, Jesus.
The
okay.
third star of the movie is the fucking robot leg.
So memorable.
Matthew McConaughey Stuck limps around. Me. It's kind of reminiscent of what Leatherface had going on in the third movie because he got run over or whatever in the second one, right? So he had a brace in the third movie. So now McConaughey's got this crazy thing with tubes on it where at some point
a pneumatic leg.
I'm saying this actually happens in the movie. Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey get into a war over his leg with a pair of TV remote controls because apparently the TV remote controls are broadcasting some signal.
Well, he built that VCR the whatever mechanism into the brace. That's why that works.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is this a reversal on the whole? And like, is that like just a bizarre fucking stupid parable of man versus woman, right? Over the remote control at the end of the fucking movie. Because, like, this whole movie is about...
That's all it is! That's That's all this
movie
is about.
I'm telling you, because Renee Zellweger, you know, she's not going to be the screaming, crying. It's all the men that are screaming and crying in this movie. None of the women are screaming and crying.
Not sure. The one friend at the beginning, when she's having the run out with Leatherface.
She hangs on a hook and doesn't scream.
She's screaming. She's screaming quite a bit. No,
but
you know,
but I'm just talking about the main character. Renee Zellweger's like, she's like, I'm not going to break. I'm not going to get psychological. This is why this movie doesn't work, right? How well, can if it's not scary to her? Well, I mean, but like, if it's not scary to the main character, why am I scared?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like the performance, I mean, and because it's a remake, you have the original to go back and compare it to. Where Marilyn Burns looks like she's terrified out of her fucking mind to the point where you're like, something is really happening to this woman. But and Renee Zellweger is being directed.
Well, because his point is like, we're here to scare you. Well, because he's telling her the whole, Matthew McConaughey, the whole movie's telling her, we're going to fucking scare you. So she knows to be like, nuh-uh, I'm not going to be scared. And they just stick with it the whole fucking movie. It's like, well, this is great. This is entertaining.
So she gets to stand up against Leatherface. Well, that's also the problem that I had with the remake. The Jessica Biel character, you know, could at least pretend that, you know, she was pumped full of adrenaline and kind of all freaked out. But they also made her, and this is, they made her almost too strong.
Oh, yeah, they're action stars.
Yeah, they become action movie characters where it's like, in order to be scared, you have to believe that this person is on the edge of losing their mind. Like, everything is gone, and this is a fight or flight kind of, you know, in your brain is about to snap.
Yeah.
Like, that woman in that first movie at the end where she's laughing her fucking head off is like, she's gone over the line.
When I saw the first movie, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was scared. It's like, it is the middle of the day. Why am I fucking terrified? Yes. Why do I feel like I'm watching a real snuff film?
Why is that a thing? Watch this. The first time I saw it, my dad brought it home.
Because it's too scary. And you can't watch that at night.
Watch this
go out
now.
Of your mind. You would literally
make sure you're
all
right before I put you to bed.
It does feel like, I don't know, something about in that first film, where by the time they get to the dinner table sequence, with all those super close-ups of her eye,
and it's the bloodshot eyes.
And the madness that's happening, it just feels like this is the craziest fucking thing that I have ever, at least at that point in my life, ever seen. And this movie, I think, is trying to recapture some of that, right, in a way by making, you know, all these people goofy, crazy. They're having domestic disputes where they're clubbing each other over the head with, you know, I mean, it's just like this madhouse.
The problem is that she's having normal discussions with it. She's like, don't kill me. Hey, guys. Right. Yeah. Oh, come on.
She's
like this
calm.
The real estate agent lady kidnaps her. And then when Matthew McConaughey puts his foot, she's like, don't kill her. It's like, the fuck do you care? She kidnapped you.
Yeah.
Like, kill her, you know.
Yeah.
And she's not. Why wouldn't you shoot? Stupid.
Yeah. I can't understand most of the motivations.
No,
for
the motivations. No.
But
bad.
The best one, maybe an example,
probably
is the boyfriend. Right, is being held at gunpoint out in front of the house. This is when they first get there.
Oh my god!
And his girlfriend, the hot one.
Don't shoot, Mister.
Yeah. The hot ones around the back being attacked by Leatherface, dragged into the house. She's screaming her fucking head off in the scene that I think Holly was talking
that's
about.
That's my girlfriend.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry, man.
That's
my girlfriend.
That's my girlfriend.
Hands still in the air now, right? So the dude with the shotgun's taking him inside the house, and he manages to close the door and lock the guy out.
And then he's good.
Ooh, he's good.
Then he's good.
And he's like, shit, man.
It's honey, there's a guy outside with a shotgun.
I really got to go to the bathroom.
Locked him out, though.
He actually does spend the next, 5 minutes of the movie looking for the bathroom so he can pee. And we're like, what in the hell has happened here?
He really had to pee.
There's a guy outside who apparently doesn't care anymore that you're in his house with a shotgun. That's all gone. There's a girl who you came with who's screaming her head off.
Somewhere.
She's stopped gone. Screaming. So.
And you're in the middle of Texas.
And you're I gotta find a bathroom.
Wait, how did he die?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Did they ever show him die? They never showed him die. They knocked him out next to the
freezer.
Blank
faces all around the table.
They knocked
him
out next to the freezer, and then he hung her on the hook, and that's the last we
saw. Because a lot of this movie was like that. Like, they hung that girl on the hook, then she was crawling the road. I'm like, whoa, am I stoned, or did I totally miss?
Yeah,
she
got herself down off the hook. Wait, am I stoned? Yeah. Travis, did you get near me?
Contact.
Are we all stoned?
Because it just comes out of nowhere. She's just crawling across the road.
I'm like, oh.
It's the most ineffective.
Sometimes
hooking.
I do think about things while a movie's playing.
It really is. There's no sound with it. There's nothing.
Yeah. Well, you said when she gets hung?
Well, yeah.
She doesn't cry she's like, oh, God, that's uncomfortable. I'm like, you know, this hook is like penetrating like muscle, bone, and your lung probably up into your body cavity. Like,
The reason we're not talking about special effects is because there are fucking none.
But we're also saying, as Sean pointed out earlier, are so many beats of this movie, like the hook hanging thing, like a guy getting clubbed in the head by
going through the window at the end,
somebody jumping through the window, somebody being in the woods, and all of a sudden a chainsaw starts up. The shot of the female protagonist running toward the camera while Leatherface with the chainsaw is running behind. The dinner table scene. I mean, like, there are so many echoes of the first movie that this, I think that's why in the back of the box it is considering it a remake.
Yes.
Even though the opening credits thing is clearly saying it's a sequel.
Yes.
Because this happened three times before.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we didn't, if this was today, we'd call this a great remake. We would. We'd be like, it's real. Based off of episode 7 and Creed and stuff like where they just take the same movie and just like, there's a black guy and a woman.
But in those movies did it well. This movie is
They still did it. They're still guilty of the crime of just taking the old movie and like putting a few new characters in there being like, it's totally new. It's like, no, it's not, motherfuckers. You took the same movie and just, you know.
And I always wonder if there's any difference between, because this is a slightly shortened cut of this movie.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy. But when it was
I'm sure the other was just more running around by the truck. Because there was 20 minutes of just running in the woods and running behind the
truck. There are a
the
few
truck.
Scenes where, like, Renee Zellweger gets away, Matthew McConaughey brings her back. Renee Zellweger gets away, Matthew McConaughey brings her back.
Dude, like, this fucking movie, because they don't want to kill her. That's why this movie sucks, is because they want her to get away and tell the story of fear.
There's no advancement on trying to do anything to her. They're just kind of... It's a show around her.
Yeah, it's
Matthew
a show.
Is just
dude, that's a good.
Doing nothing.
It's a haunted house. It's a haunted house movie. It's the scariest haunted house you'll ever go to, where they pick you up in a truck and they fucking look at that.
But
you
is
know,
that
and
the
all
point?
That shit.
That
is the point. The Illuminati.
But what
this
I was gonna
is
say
a
is,
it's a dumb idea for a horror movie.
It really is, and I wonder if anything. It's probably things just getting cut down. But when it was first made. The Return of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It was a 97-minute movie. The one we watch is an 84-minute.
Oh, shit.
But I think, or an 87-minute we watched, 94-minute was the original cut. But I don't think that cut exists because that was like a first cut festival kind of screen for people cut. Mm. And I'm sure after that,
people
I'm pretty
hated
sure.
How long it was.
It's like you need to cut it down. But I think shortly after that, it was cut down to this time. And this is the cut that is out there. I don't think the other one exists anywhere.
And there has to be a significant amount missing with, I mean, how the girl got off the hook. She ends up somehow out in the middle of the road. She's basically fine, right? I mean,
basically fine.
She's just kind of
it paralyzed her, apparently.
Yeah, like, oh, I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like I'm like, you got a hole in your back.
And the chick hits her with the stick.
She's like, don't.
Right, but like the cook does in the first movie.
Just barely just like, don't, you're hitting me, don't do it.
Stop hitting me. Alright, just don't crawl away.
Just don't crawl away. By the way, another one got out, she's crawling across the road, better go get her.
Yeah. The dinner table scene ups the ante from the first movie. In the first movie, they wheel out Grandpa, the corpse, basically, we think. And it turns out that the fucking guy, you gotta see this movie.
Yeah, the Grandpa looks a little more alive in this one.
Well, yeah, okay, so there's like three other corpses at the dinner table, and this old guy corpse, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of dinner, when everything's getting all crazy,
he gets up and walks away, grabs a knife.
He grabs a knife and he's gone. He was alive the whole time.
He really did just walk away. Like, it got cut. It just
he just got up and fucking walked out of the movie.
There's people to kill.
It's the weirdest fucking thing.
It's the weird. They're like, cut it back. All right, this movie's too long. We need to cut back everything but the Illuminati. That's the theme we're going with, and we're going to stick with it.
Yeah.
And they just cut everything else out.
It is very bizarre. They don't even afford these characters like decent the comeuppance, right?
Yeah,
that you expect
not at all.
At the end of the movie. Well, it's either going to, I mean, because basically they mirror the first movie again where, you know, heroin staggers out into the road at dawn, and there's a truck, in this case an RV, passing by, and Leatherface is out there, you know, with his chainsaw trying to track her down. This movie adds the appearance of a crop dusting plane.
Yep.
That
it really needed it.
An Illuminati controlled crop dusting plant?
Maybe.
Wow.
It didn't have a sign on the side.
It saved her. It wasn't trying to scare her.
It did because they thought they're going too far. They need to stop.
Well, that was a crop dusting hero is what that was.
But, yeah, but the crop duster is there, to keep an eye on the rest of the group.
He's like the black truck driver from part one.
That was the old folks in the motorhome.
Just lending a helping hand.
He's like, I've heard about this shit.
Yeah.
And goes and
so somehow he's able to take out Matthew McConaughey, but not hit and pull up immediately within like about 5 feet, right? He can pull back up again without killing Renee Zellweger.
Cliff Secord.
Yep.
And what happened? Who else was chasing the other dude, right?
Leatherface.
Oh, Leatherface.
It was Leatherface and Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. That was it at the end.
Yeah. Because Matthew McConaughey kills Matthew McConaughey clubs the other family member with a hammer.
Over the head. He goes a little bit crazy and starts cutting himself with a blade and starts crying.
Because he just has to scare you.
That's all he's doing. Scream. That's what it feels like. That's all he's doing.
He's not trying to kill you.
Like Chicken Wire Hell.
A
member of Chicken Wire Hell. That's what he feels like he's doing. He's putting on a show.
Yeah. What happened to the woman?
Which one?
The realtor?
I don't know. Family she's left member? In the house. Like when Renee Zellweger runs out.
Thought. She doesn't get killed.
No. Leatherface goes after her. Matthew McConaughey messes freaks with his out leg and fucking
like throws her on the ground and then he sets her friend on fire. Right? Because she's like, Renee Zellweger's like, I'm not going to cry because I'm a strong woman and this is the
90s.
Yeah. And it would have been better if she just said that.
She should have just said that. It's an honest script.
Yeah. and then there's a scene it ends up the Illuminati dude does actually pick her up and take her to the fucking emergency room where she runs into what you guys are saying. I didn't notice it. They couldn't recognize her, but that's Marilyn Burns.
Marilyn Burns on the stretcher and Franklin's pushing her.
Because somebody says
it's
the actors doing it. Yeah. Not the actual characters from the first.
Like, she's still crazy in
the hospital. I like to think that's that's Marilyn Burns is playing her actual character from the first one.
She's still crazy.
And she's still crazy.
And for some reason, she's anonymous in the credits.
Yeah.
Because they're cool. Like, they're spooky.
Well, she didn't want to be associated with
this. It's like the rabbit.
Yeah, she's like, no, 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 no.
Right. It's like the rabbit at the end of Cabin Fever where it says, we'll never tell in the credits. Yeah. Something like that.
Genius.
Genius.
Whoa.
Genius? Or right. Conspiracy.
Well, does that wrap up the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I fucking hope so. My God.
Indeed, it does. Jesus.
Well, listeners, we want you to stick with us. We're going to answer some mail, and then on the other side of that, we're going to do our final wrap-ups, and you'll get to hear what we really think about this movie. Ooh. We hope you'll stick around. And don't forget, you can get a hold of us on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. Go over there and tell us what you want us to watch. And we're going to pin it to the top of the feed. So it's time to summon Igor. Sean?
Igor?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Igor, aren't you going to say welcome back to... You pissed him off.
Igor,
he doesn't like.
I'm sorry.
That's not what a family does. A family doesn't just take off and say, you know what? I'll be back in 2 months or when it's my move. Whichever comes first.
Igor is just an Indians fan. He will get over it and he will survive.
There you go. All right. By the way, you can also get a hold of us on Twitter. We're
at SatFreakShow.
And by email, SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. And Crypticus writes in and says about our episode about Dracula last week, about the recoloring of the movie. He says sometimes directors are idiots.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
They shouldn't be able to fucking fuck with their own movies like that. I don't think they should.
I saw that Scream Factory shot you down. As far as getting that movie in color.
Yeah, we said, Scream Factory, can you come to... And they're like, we wish we could. So
which
apparently...
means it's coming soon, is what I say. They're like, sorry, we don't know anything about that. It's like, you fuckers, it's coming.
All right.
So you just wait.
G-Money writes in and says, Texas Chainsaw, The Next Generation, is not good. It's not bad.
Ah.
It's just a big steaming mess. McConaughey displays variations of this character later in his career. True or false?
Versions and variations, I would say.
I don't know if I've ever seen him this manic.
He's...
Or this over the top, or flying.
Very over the top.
He thought that was going to get cut and like edited and stuff like responsibly. So he's like, I could just go off, right? Yeah. Like,
how big do you want it? Now do go it. Big, Matthew. You want crazy.
This guy's a clown. Yeah. This clown will do anything for a few bucks and some bologna.
Michaela Tyson writes in and says, is this movie an origin story for Matthew McConaughey's character in Frailty?
Dun, dun, dun.
He's no.
He's pretty sane, right? No, I mean, not sane.
Well, he's
but
crazy,
like,
but he's the low key.
He can talk about it
in Frailty. So yeah.
He's just
going to
tell you
no.
about the things and just do the things.
Right? Be like, he is calm, insane, Matthew McConaughey in Frailty.
He's the Hannibal Lecter crazy in Frailty. Yeah.
They're like twin brothers, and this is the crazy one, and then his other brother is in Frailty.
Yeah. Nick Hammond writes in. He says, I vomited in my mouth. This movie is just plain garbage.
I'm sorry.
And Jacob Laws writes in and says, this movie was headache inducing. So, again, we thank you all for writing in.
Thank you.
And now it is time to do our final wrap-ups, and that means you hear that sound out there in the distance.
Oh, my God.
The hour has come, sirs.
Thank you, Lurk.
Thanks, Lurk.
Thanks, Shit. Lurk.
All right,
a death rattle in that stare.
So that means we're going to start things off with Travis. Travis, what did you think of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre of the Next Generation?
If I could make one long fart sound, that is what I would do to review this movie.
I could kill myself before I saw this movie.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I can't even, I mean, there's no point in even justifying why it's bad. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. It's just a shame. It's just one of those things where, like, there's so many horror movies that, like, I don't know why, I can't get enough of, like, a Jason sequel, or but like some movies are like, dude, you had one movie, be happy you had. Well, I like part two, but still, like Psycho. I'm sorry, Psycho is one horror movie, doesn't need to have a sequel, doesn't need to do.
Yeah,
Halloween. I love Halloween too. It's on. I love Halloween too. Actually, I had to correct myself. It was not on my my top list.
No.
Of Halloween, but I love Halloween too. But it doesn't need a sequel. It doesn't.
Doesn't need it.
Just doesn't need it. Because that's why even after two, it sucks. Because it's like, well, is he going to keep going after his sister? I don't know.
It doesn't suck. Like,
we wrote ourselves into a fucking corner.
Why are you asking questions?
Yeah, he has no plot. Yeah, it's just like...
This is a movie.
And you would think that like the fact that Leatherface don't have characters that are so tied up that like, well, really the sky should be the limit on what you could do with the Sawyers.
Not the Hewitts,
the Sawyers. But they've never done it. They've never, like, you know, they can never. And I think the problem is like, okay, once you get rid of the dad and Chop Top, it's like, I don't want to learn a new family every fucking movie. Who is that little girl in the family? Is that fucking person? It's like you said, every person you run into now is in the family. It's like, whoa, I'm shocked. I'm so shocked the crazy mad hillbilly is in the Sawyer or the Hewitt family or whatever.
Did
like,
they do that in one of them? Or was it Texas Chainsaw 3D where like she went into the town and she found just more members of the family? That had to have happened in one of them.
No,
right?
In Texas Chainsaw 3D, it was the townspeople that were evil. That's the whole like, glorification
like
of bad
Leatherface
morals.
Leatherface is a good guy by the end of that.
Yeah.
It's
just that whole like Maleficent, the bad guys have to be misunderstood. They can't possibly be bad.
Yeah.
They're
just eats people and chews them up with chainsaws.
It's just the evil Christians.
Fuck that.
So, yeah, fuck this fucking movie, dude. Like, fuck you, Sean, for even making me watch this. Like, I could have been coloring. No, I'm not infantilized like you. No, I could have done a sick day, but I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to rail this. I want to fucking get.
I'm in.
Because this is it, you know? This is it. I saw it in 96. Now this is 20 fucking years later, and fucking never again for the rest of my life.
Someday your nephew's going to go, I want to see all the Texas all Chainsaw Massacres in a row.
I'll be like, all two of them. Absolutely. Right away. So, yeah, fuck this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd say it wasn't, I've seen really, really bad movies. This wasn't horrible, but it's pretty fucking close. I mean, it's down there on the bottom rung, not anything that you'd intentionally foist on anybody.
There's Atomic Monster movies better than this.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Is it better or worse than Robot Monster? I think it's better than Robot Monster. There you go. Robot Monster? Oh, it's the one with the guy in the gorilla suit with the diving helmet on his head.
Okay. I never knew the name of that. Yeah, I never knew the name of that. Robot Monster.
Robot Monster.
Good to know.
Yeah, I mean, it does have, I don't know. I mean, for all, you know, the shit we gave it about, you know, McConaughey, he comes out of this looking relatively decent, right? It's like, man, there's a guy who's committed 100% there. It's
insane hillbilly.
He's working for
Cannibal
his coke.
Family.
Although he apparently doesn't know what movie this is. When they asked him about it later, there was a Jimmy Kimmel or something where he identified it as Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
I'm sure he
He had no idea what came before this.
Never saw any of these movies. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, maybe. Yeah. Renee Zellweger fares less well, I think, because she's almost catatonic in scenes where she should be emoting in some way, shape, or form.
Not directed well.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate
culprit.
It
was weakness. They didn't want to direct a weak female character because that's where we are nowadays.
But she didn't. There was times when, like, you should be in pain or you should be shocked and something, but she has, like, a muted response. But it wasn't just her. It was all the characters.
They have zero distress.
Yeah.
Zero. It's all supposed to be in the ADR.
I think that is the fault primarily of the director. I think Kim Henkel is not a, you know, I mean, you go back and this is, I think maybe I said this on when I did my favorite movies list, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I always thought was like a really roughly made movie, right? Mm. But upon seeing it, you know, over the years, it's like this movie's actually well put together, well shot, well choreographed, like there's stuff going on, but it also brings that, like, the rough edge of what feels like that it's real documentary filmmaking, like it's really happening in front of you, which you don't get from...
That fucking shot that fall in the first one that follows that girl from underneath. It's one of the most beautiful shots in American cinema history.
Yeah, they duplicated it in the remake. Yeah, which was shot by the same guy, Daniel Pearl, who did that. So it's badly directed, poorly conceived. I don't understand what I mean. Aside from a financial gain, right? Like what Kim Henkel got out of basically retelling the exact same story that he already told, you know, in some cases beat for beat. It felt like that he had done 10 years prior to there.
He just took his old script.
Yeah. And just went like, well, this is what they expect from a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. So we're going to go and give them the same exact same beats, exact same scenes, meat hook. Hammer to the head, freezer, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ.
They just won't be startling or scared.
Yeah, because, I mean, case in point, the one scene where, you know, the heroine, after being chased by Leatherface, ends up in the cook's house. The terror in that scene is he says he's going to go get her help, and he runs out to go start the car. The camera remains inside the building with her looking, and he leaves the door open. Mm. Now, we've just seen her being chased across the countryside by Leatherface. The fucking door is open. It's just black out there. And there's her alone, defenseless inside. And the door is in the frame in the background. And you're just aware that, like, any fucking second, this guy is going to come through with a fucking chainsaw. This movie attempts to do the same thing. Only they stage it wrong. Miserably. She comes in to the real estate agent's office, sits down on the couch. Agent says, I'm going to go outside and go find something. And they put the camera outside the door, looking at Renee Zellweger sitting there. And it's like you have completely misunderstood why the scene was effective the first time around. If we can't see the open door, you don't have the anxiety of the open door and what might suddenly appear in it. Mm. You know,
there's so no opportunity in that.
Right. That's why I'm saying, like, the guy fundamentally is not a movie, a visual storyteller and a movie director. He can't direct actors for shit, and he can't direct suspense for shit. And I mean, as far as his writing goes, I mean, we gotta say he wrote, co-wrote the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not that it's like great, you know, bastion of cinematic dialogue or anything,
right?
But yeah, this is, I want to know what did he
atrocious.
Write.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, unless you're a Texas Chainsaw Massacre completist and you have to see them all.
Fundamentalist is what I call it.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't even have to see a series. There's really no continuity beyond the first two. After that, and even the remakes, I suppose those have, there's, you know, Texas Chainsaw, the remake, and the beginning have a continuity.
But you can watch them in any order.
You can just see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think, in 1974, and you're good.
Yeah.
That's me.
Then kill yourself, because it's all, like, nothing better.
Yeah.
Downhill.
Yeah, I kind of related to Matthew McConaughey when he's sitting on the floor cutting himself furiously and emotionally crying.
Jesus. Okay.
So you're a cutter.
I get it. During this, yeah, I would have been.
This movie.
During this, yeah, I would have been. This was a pile of hot garbage. This was awful. I got to give props to Matthew McConaughey for being Matthew McConaughey, but psycho.
To the 10th level?
Yeah. No, he was ultra mucho crazy.
Ultra mucho. Now that's a good callback.
Thank you.
Thank you to the credits of this movie.
Company. Yeah. Production company. Bravo, ultra mucho. Bravo.
They named that after this movie was made. They're just like, we're ultra mucho.
Ultra mucho, crazy Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Fantastic. That's the only good thing I can say about this movie. He did a good job being crazy. Well done, Matthew McConaughey. Everyone else was complete shit. Don't waste your time. Done.
Kim Hinkle never directed anything again.
I'm really shocked.
And it's kind of obvious to see why.
Did he do anything between Texas Chainsaw Massacre and this?
There's writing stuff. He wrote stuff.
Murder She Wrote.
It's hard to say. You have to look
then
your
that
way.
Means no, if you can't look up a list of things.
Well, no,
he wrote.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to like scoop past all the characters by stuff, which always gets put under the written by in IMDb because anything Texas Chainsaw related gets a him credit for it. So you have to like get rid of that. So maybe like a couple things. Not much. I think he's more of a producer for things. Writing, no. Directed, never again. And you can see why. Because even,
movies are hard to make.
Later on, I think they, we're looking at this many years later. I think they, I mean, the back labels this as a hilarious bone-chilling remake. And I think they labeled the hilarious
After the fact
because if he didn't intentionally, I mean, I don't know. There is an hour making of documentary on YouTube. It's called The Return of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the documentary. Give it a watch. Very interesting. But it's easy to see why he didn't direct anything again. It feels like, almost like Travis mentioned earlier, like Tobe Hooper wrote the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Kim Hinkle was sitting next to him going, oh, yeah, do this and maybe do that. And maybe he took some
of his
ideas.
What if he's a hitchhiker? That's a good idea, Mike. Or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Or whatever his name is.
But it feels like Kim Hinkle was just shouting out really weird things to put in the script. And Tobe Hooper shot them all down. And then 20 years later, he's like, I'm going to take all my ideas and make my own movie.
Maybe
Illuminati.
Maybe Kim Hinkle's the guy that's like, if he wears a skin on his mask? I mean, what if that's all Kim Hinkle ever really did is kind of create the bad guy?
Maybe.
So Tobe Hooper's like, we wrote it together, dude.
Right. But all the ideas that got shot down, I feel like got gathered together again, and he decided he wanted to make his version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
But leave Leatherface out of it.
Right, but just put him off to the side and be like, all right, you'll get
it. Because he doesn't understand that.
It's
like maybe he did it.
The alternate universe. It's like the bizarro world Texas Chainsaw
Massacre.
Yeah,
it really
is.
Yeah.
The few redeeming things, like we said, Matthew McConaughey is on another level in this. He's really, it's fascinatingly dedicated to this role. And I think what is required of him, he delivers in spades for this. I mean, the rest of the movie is...
But why doesn't anybody want to say that's hammy? That's overacting.
Yeah, it's over.
That's hammy.
Oh, no,
it's like,
truly.
That's not good acting. It's like, he is not a good actor
but
in this movie.
It's that he's,
like, he's
there.
Lucky.
He believes
he's
just, it, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
is.
My
he
theory is the first one, you have such a compelling feeling of being unsettling. Like, everything is so unsettling yeah. in the first one. This had none of that. So I feel like he was overcompensating. He wanted to make you feel like uncomfortable.
And again, I think we chalk this up to
like yeah. shouting.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Movie. But I chalk that up to directing. And that's
yeah,
because
agreed.
He's the just writing, like, we everything. Need everything on amped up high.
It's
Leatherface,
you.
I want you to yell all the time.
This is him trying to remember what Toby
everything
did,
you can
right?
All at once. And we'll just go from there. And then they took the beats from, you know, the first one, and they tried to make their own version of it. Not entirely successful, to say the least. I like
Toby
how it said,
had
I
them
think...
screaming. Scream more, everybody.
More, everybody. Double everything.
Not you, you're strong.
But I'm the victim.
Nope. Not in this movie.
If you look at the series, you get a little something different with every version of the movie, or at least the first four. I say maybe the other
first
one's kind of
four.
More.
You're crazy. This is considered in that.
That's what I'm saying. You get something like a little different with each one. They're not all kind of the same as you go along. There's different elements that stick out more, I think, in the sequels as they go along. Ridiculousness is the main contributor to this one. I think it's ridiculous enough to, if you know the series. To give it a watch, because it is completely ridiculous, and it is, especially the acting at the beginning, it's worth a laugh, I think worth a viewing. Even if you're not, like, the biggest fan of the series, I'd give it a watch, because it's, you know, it's funny, it's something to see, and you may get something out of it. You laugh at it, you get a good laugh, so I'll recommend it.
All right. Well, that is Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. I feel compelled to say that title.
Yes,
indeed.
The Next Generation.
All right. So next week, Holly's going to pick the movie.
Yes.
Holly, what are we watching next week?
Next week, we are watching The Stepford Wives, 1975.
Yeah, that's right.
We cut it right there.
I like that movie.
Whoa. Giving it away. So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. Stop over to the Facebook page. Tell us what you want us to review. And until then, the basement is going dark.